Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Keith, you ready for day two legal tampering?
Hell yeah, Jones.
Nice.
Born ready. What a time to be alive. A lot of moving and shaking. And also, I've noticed the last couple of shows we've had, things really kick up a notch around like 2:30, 3 o'clock. We're right off the air, fresh off our show.
I have noticed that.
We're celebrating how great the show was in the back office. Patting a lot of, you know, champagne.
Good job.
I know you did a great job over there.
You were excellent today.
Glitter guns everywhere.
And then we're sitting there and it's like, big news is happening. Big moving and shaking. And, the Patriots are right at the center of it.
Yeah, so you hear the bigger bag alert there.
Bigger bag alert.
Which, damn it, that's a good idea.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah. McAfee's got us there. That's a good idea.
Yep, bigger tip bag your cap alert. To McAfee
yeah,
on that.
Sometimes you just got to bend the knee and say, you know what, they got us there.
Yep.
So Milton Williams signs right after the show. You're right, Friday was very busy right after we got off the air.
Big Milton Williams.
And, Milt the Stilt, the newest Patriot.
Boss of the week.
Do it, Nick. Let's go. Haas of the week right away. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations to Milton
Williams. Your trophy is en route.
Yep.
So when it comes to the Patriots and their day yesterday, and we had most of their signings while we were on the air, they're almost all on defense outside of Morgan Moses, and I guess a few moves they made later in the night.
True.
Josh Dobbs, Mac Hollins. But a lot of money on defense, specifically one of the most coveted free agents, penetrating D linemen in Milton Williams, along with some of the other moves they made. Carlton Davis in the secondary, Spillane at the linebacker level. They made the Harold Landry move early on in free agency. So a lot of money spent, a lot of money spent on defense. There are still needs for the Patriots. What'd you think of day one?
Loading up on defense, and it's the old saying, like, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. And it seems like right now, I obviously was looking for offensive players, but I'm not going to, like, poo-poo what they did. They spent money. We've been waiting for years for them to spend money. And the biggest deal of the day was Milton Williams, right? Like, not counting some of these, like, re-signing announcements and things like that, like, not kind of like Josh Allen's deal and stuff. But if you're looking at the free agents yesterday, I think Milton Williams was the biggest contract. And he was definitely one of the 5'10 best free agents. And if they're really trying to load up on defense, because the defense sucked last year, like, they need a lot of help there. And I assume Mike Vrabel and Terrell Williams, just having those guys in, replacing Covington and Mayo, should be a step in the right direction. But you also need players. And they got somebody at every level. They got a couple of D-line, right? You got Landry, the pass rusher, and Milton Williams. So that's good. You're shoring up your front. We saw in the Super Bowl just how important the front can be. You got a linebacker who tackles everything. And then you got another corner to go on the other side of Christian Gonzalez. So when Mike Vrabel was talking about, we want to be able to, in free agency, check enough of the boxes so we could show up and play a game, they did on defense. The defense can play a game tomorrow. And yeah, they might still tinker with it. They might add draft picks. Who knows what else is going to happen. But if you said they got to line up and play tomorrow defensively, they can do it.
So this is exactly what I was going to say. And there's still a move or two away on offense. But the thing that Vrabel promised, they're about halfway there. And on defense, they're a lot of the way there, where we're going to go into free agency, we're going to fill a bunch of needs, and then we're going to let the draft come to us.
Yeah.
If they sign Cam Robinson, who is arguably the best free agent left on the board, if they sign Cam Robinson at left tackle and they make some kind of move at wide receiver.
Cup
would be great.
Cooper Kupp would be, at this point, I think, best option.
Yeah. Schefter had the tweet last night where Kupp is probably going to get released barring a late unforeseen trade. So you're going to have to outspend teams and outmaneuver teams on Kupp and sell him on coming to New England.
Yeah.
But if they sign Cam Robinson and Cooper Kupp, and those are big ifs.
Right.
All of a sudden, you look at free agency and you go, oh, Vrabel did what he said they were going to do.
Definitely.
And they're going to plug a bunch of holes. They're gonna fill out all their needs. And then pick four in the draft is going to come to them, which means...
Duck boats.
Doesn't mean duck boats, but it means they could move down. They could take, if they wanted to, a player like Will Campbell. They could take a player like Mason Graham. They can move back and accumulate assets. They can let the draft come to them. And I would say furthermore... Yesterday, and we already felt this way late in the show, but yesterday was evidence that it's definitely not Elliott Wolf. Anybody like me who was fearful that Elliott Wolf was going to have any role?
He re-signed Hooper.
Maybe.
He got his guy.
It is Vrabel running the show. And so, if they don't have a receiver and they don't have a tackle, you can blame Vrabel. And if you want to give them credit for the signings, you can give credit to Vrabel.
Yeah.
But it is Vrabel running the show. I think one day into legal tampering, we got our answer on that.
Well, and they had so many needs. So as much as I want a left tackle, and they're eventually going to need to get a left tackle, and as much as I wanted a wide receiver, every other spot they went out and got a guy on, it was a need to some degree. Really, we said everything but quarterback and one corner. So you could go every which way. Defensive line, we probably thought on paper that they were closer to being ready than some of the other positions. But I think Mike Vrabel and Terrell Williams looked at it differently. They're like, all right, gotcha. You can, we're going to trade you. We'll figure out the other guys. I don't know if you can rely, unfortunately, on Barmore health-wise. So they're like, we're going to spend a ton of money on Milton Williams, which right off the rip wouldn't have been my number one choice. Like, hey, you're going to spend $100 million on a guy. What position? Forget the guy. Like, what position are you going to spend $100 million? I'd be like,
tackle.
Left tackle, wide
receiver.
Corner even. And they're like, no, we're going D-tackle. But that's how they want to do it. And so they're also putting a lot of expectations on themselves to turn this into a top 10 defense. You know, even like right away. Like, you can't spend that kind of money and also bring back some of the players that you have. So you have a all-pro corner. In Gonzalez, you have another corner who's really good. Landry could be a double-digit sack guy. And then Milton Williams was literally at the center of a Super Bowl-winning defense. So you put all that together. Although, yeah, are you going to say something about Williams?
Are you nervous at all about Milton? They spent $100 million on him, $104 million. And you can jump in all day long, 617-779-7937. I think the short answer, too long didn't read. Keith and I are both thumbs up on the Patriots spending money. They still have needs, but I like what they did yesterday. I still want a receiver. I still want a tackle. There are options still out there. If they don't get them, we'll rip them. But too long didn't read. Thumbs up. Do you like what they did yesterday? Are you still waiting for the receiver and tackle until you can really make a decision? Again, 617-779-7937. Lots of ways to interact with the show on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. The full bracket is up on Twitter and Instagram our March Madness uniform bracket, which was interrupted slightly yesterday with Twitter being down.
Sorry.
But you can seek those out. You can vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter.
Were you able to recover from that?
In the latest hockey region. I'm going to be honest. My phone, and I don't know if it's because I'm an Android, my phone is still like a little spotty.
Probably the Android.
The computer here at work.
I think you pinpointed it, yeah.
The computer here at work is working fine. My phone's still a little bit spotty, if I'm being honest.
Okay. Speaking of phones, can I tell you what my buddy, who is a buddy from college, who lives outside of Philadelphia and is an Eagles season ticket holder,
yeah,
what he had to say about Milton Williams?
Well, so I'm curious if it's the same thing. Go ahead, yeah.
All right, so this is...
Something tells me it's not that.
It's not that, actually. Yeah. So he just wrote, and he's not like what you would assume like an Eagles fan is. He's really not like an in-your-face guy. Like, he didn't like put the Super Bowl, like shove it in everybody's face. He's
he
not
doesn't
like
throw, throw batteries at Santa Claus.
He's not,
okay.
But he's a diehard Eagles fan. All he wrote was, I didn't like the what it sounded like. Good luck with Milton Williams and his contract. That's how it starts. Let's see how he does without Jalen Carter next to him. Lot of money for one player! Exclamation point.
Okay,
and so, I was like, I just responded like, I'm just glad they spent money.
Okay, so we actually have a slightly different. I agree with you on. I'm happy they spent money.
I'm happy about it.
Fine,
I'm just pointing this out.
Maybe they overpaid on Milton Stilt. Maybe, but I'm nervous he's never even played 50% of the snaps on defense.
I didn't know that until yesterday. And it might have been right before he signed.
I think
they were talking about all the different...
I think he maxed out last year at 48% of the snaps.
Mm.
So
that,
like,
is a lot of money for a guy that doesn't play all the time.
Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm happy they spent the money.
Yeah, he was
a coveted free agent. They got him. Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've said that, do I have any concerns? Or do I have to ask the question why the Eagles let him get the free agency? He was a part-time player for them.
Well, they also couldn't pay every single guy, I guess. And,
true.
You know, they got to figure out what they want to do. They, you know, Zach Bond and Saquon Barkley both got big raises. The one thing, though, again, not to come across as a negative Nelson on it, I wonder, I know they play different positions, but being on that Eagles defense and specifically next to Jalen Carter, who's one of the best defensive players in the league, does it remind you at all of when the Pats get a Dallas Thomas? And he actually was pretty good in 07 and in the 07 Super Bowl, but then it just went south. But he came from a Ravens defense that was loaded.
Yeah.
Everybody would pay attention to Ray Lewis. Everybody would pay attention to some of the other guys they had up front. And so a Dallas Thomas could kind of fly around and do like whatever he wanted, kind of unchecked. And different positions, so I know it's apples to oranges, but when you would play against Philadelphia, I think you're like, where's Jalen Carter? We got to double team Jalen Carter and all this other stuff. So I wonder if there's any concern with that.
Yeah, you spent $104 million on like the Eagles' fifth best defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Which might be your best defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I don't criticize you doing it, but I also don't want to overstate, all right, the Patriots brought in this guy, and now all of a sudden, what, there are duck boats, as we were saying earlier?
Well, no, I just think there's a lot of, I said the expectation for the defense is high, but for him specifically,
yeah,
when you get that kind of contract, it's great. Robert Kraft finally spent. Mike Vrabel is able to break through and do that.
Agreed.
But now the defense needs to be good, and this guy needs to be good.
Right. So what I would say is you're better, but you still have a long ways to go. You still need to ace the draft. There's still more work to do in free agency. And so, good. I'm happy you're better. I'm happy they spent the money. I'm definitely not complaining about that. But let's also not overstate what Milt the Stilt, Haas of the Week here on Jones and Keith.
He is the Haas of the Week.
Milton Williams is, because he was a part-time player in Philly. And he was a guy who, you're right, Keith, was part of a defensive line where other guys like Javon Carter got a lot of the attention. So you can watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can chat there as well. Always a healthy chat on Twitch. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. One text here, Keith.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Okay.
It goes back to what you were saying about a lot of activity shortly after we get off the air.
Oh, yeah.
Can you guys wrap up the show so the Patriots will sign more players?
Honestly, if they get Cooper Kupp, it'll be at 2:05 today. I feel pretty confident about that.
I feel like you're certainly on to something.
Uh-huh.
By the way, we are broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. We're going to keep our eyes on all the news out there in free agency today for the Patriots. Who do you want them to land? Who do you think they're going to land? What do they still need to do? You can jump in here at 617-779-7937. Keith, I'm looking at the Florio Top 100 in free agency.
Okay.
You ready for the names that are left, best I can tell?
Oh, man.
This is the whole top 30.
It's not a great list. Anyway, yeah, so who's left?
So there is, after Javon Holland signed this morning, there's no one left in the top 10.
Yeah, Holland
in free
to the
agency.
Giants. Yep.
There is two players left in the top 20. Safety Justin Reed from the Chiefs.
Okay.
And Vikings offensive tackle Cam Robinson.
So that's it. Cam, as far as priorities for the Patriots or guys that they should still be interested in, I know they just spent a pile of cash yesterday, but the offensive line, I mean, Morgan Moses, probably more of a right tackle or more of like a backup tackle at either spot.
He's played both in his career,
yeah,
but last year he was at right tackle. He's in his mid-30s. He's battled some injuries.
I think of him
you probably
like
don't
a,
want him at left tackle.
Like a Cam Fleming. Like, you could put him at either spot or like a Vidarian Love.
But I'm with you. If they sign Cam Robinson at left tackle with Morgan Moses at right tackle, that is not all of a sudden some great offensive line, but those are professional tackles.
And you also go into the draft
with
a lot of flexibility,
tackle.
Too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're not like, oh, we have to come away with a starting tackle. Like, no, that'd be nice, but you can at least play a game without it.
And I personally, if Carter and Hunter are gone in the draft, I personally would be more open to Will Campbell at 4 or trading down to Will Campbell at 4 if you had Robinson and Moses, where it's like, okay, maybe Will Campbell is a guard. Or maybe he's a tackle and now we have a safety net if it doesn't work out that way. So I'm with you. They kind of have to be all in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to wind up paying. Jalen Moore got 15 a year. Dan Moore got 20 a year. You saw, what's his name after we got off the air too, from Houston got dealt. Larry Tunsil got dealt as well to Washington. And so the tackle market has been pretty hot.
Up. teach your kids to be 330 pounds. That's my recommendation.
Mekhi Becton is 23 on that list. Aaron Rodgers expected to sign with the Steelers today, which would be good for the Patriots, by the way.
Crazy.
That'd be good for the Patriots.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It means the Giants didn't get a guy.
That means the top three teams in the draft all need a quarterback.
For sure.
Tennessee, Cleveland, and the Giants.
Even the team, like, I'm with you. Like, that would just make it a lot easier. But even a team that Aaron Rodgers signs with, guess what they also still need? A quarterback. Like, is that, you know, they should at least be in the market for one. He might be the guy for a year, but how many years can you count on Aaron Rodgers to play for?
No, that's a good point. Will Freeze signed today, right? Didn't I see that this morning?
I think
morning?
So. Yeah.
So
I
he's 26,
so.
And then Josh Myers. There's like two or three players left in the top 30. On Florio's list, which is just one list, we've been going off it today.
Yeah, Vikings got Freeze.
But it is a reminder that while free agency doesn't officially start until tomorrow at 4 o'clock, most of the big ticket names have been picked off. So Cam Robinson, maybe Cooper Kupp gets released and the Patriots pounce on them. Those feel like the biggest needs remaining for the Pats and the two names that I think Keefe and I would both identify.
I don't know if that list has been updated. Do you got any interest in Kyle Juszczyk from the 49ers?
Sure.
The tight end or the fullback?
Yeah,
they cut him.
Not a big priority for me, but sure.
But if McDaniels is sprinkling in a little bit of a fullback, this is not your prototypical fullback. He can actually, you know, catch a pass. But.
Text line, why do you guys always find the negative in everything?
That's true.
I think we've largely been pretty positive. We were just pointing out that Milton Williams was a part-time player for the Eagles.
Yeah, I just think lining up next to a stud like that in Jalen Carter, like, will it be the same for him? He might be nasty. And they do have good players up front. So, like, Williams and Barmore could be a couple of wreckers. Like, I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing, but I don't know, if you just ask yourself prior to free agency, I don't know how many people that we were like, hey, you can spend $100 million on a player. I don't think many people would have come up with D-tackle.
No.
But not that you don't want this player in particular. I just think other positions kind of jumped out at you more.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, the Patriots yesterday, Chad Graff?
No, it's Kraft.
Set the line at 1.5, $20 million AAV.
Well, so one's a push, right?
One is a push, but still.
Carlton Davis, good signing.
But they went over that, and they may still go over that, depending on the money they're going to have to throw at Cam Robinson. I doubt Kupp is going to command that kind of money, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. So is Milton Williams your favorite signing yesterday, Keefe?
No.
Okay, he would be mine. So I was about to ask you, which signing do you like the best beyond Milton Williams? So what was your favorite signing?
I like Carlton Davis. I like the idea that I think he could maybe be a number one corner on other teams, and the Patriots have a number one corner, but they're like, we need more than that. And I think the pass rush is going to be benefited. So whether you're talking about Milton Williams, who as far as like D tackles are concerned, good pass rush. Harold Landry, I know like the pass rush rates that came out weren't very good, but the overall sack number has been pretty solid the last few years. So I like the idea of just adding like a really good corner duo. Think about all the great receivers they seemingly play week in and week out. We highlight a lot of the quarterbacks in the AFC, but most of those quarterbacks have one or two stud receivers. I mean, you play the Dolphins twice a year. You know, the Garrett Wilson with the Jets, you know, whoever Josh Allen's throwing to just because he's so good. I love the idea of doubling up and having two really good corners.
So I really like the Carlton Davis signing as well. I prefer Milton Williams because they threw $100 million at a
guy. That's a great sign. Yeah.
And by the way, the Panthers supposedly were going to sign him. We said that at one point during the show yesterday.
Yeah, Diana Rossini, I believe, said that he was going to the Panthers.
Your girl with a nice scoop there.
Whoops.
And it turns out they go, no, you're not going to Carolina, you're coming to us. So not only do I like that they threw a bunch of money at it, but I like how that maneuvering went. And I would say the same thing about Carlton Davis. We said this late in the show yesterday, but I was floored when I saw the numbers on DJ Reed. DJ Reed went to Detroit. Carlton Davis came from Detroit to the Patriots. Reed got $16 million a year AAV. Yeah. We'll dig in on all the actual numbers as some of the contracts come out. A lot of the info is coming out this morning. They're paying $20 million a year AAV to Davis. And so I go, I'd rather pay $20 to Reed and $16 to Davis. Why was Reed signing for so little in Detroit? Well, number one, they're a contending team. And number two, the Patriots are going to have to get uncomfortable and overspend for the players they want. So DJ Reed might not have taken 20 here. He might have said, yeah, my market for you, New England, is like 22 or whatever.
Right.
I'll take 16 from Detroit. And that kind of highlights the difference, I think, in what the Patriots have to spend and overspend to get these players. But the idea players weren't going to sign here, I never really bought.
No, that was annoying because that kept popping up, and I don't know if it was based on last year. And I'm sure the NFLPA thing didn't help them. That survey that came out that just buried them, like, that didn't help. And like, oh, like, well, the state tax here, they'll never sign anybody. No, you just have to spend more. And they did. Like, look at all the guys they got yesterday. They clearly could have gone other places. Hell, Milton Williams essentially almost was signed somewhere else. So guys had other options. It's not like they're just getting bottom of the barrel guys.
No. And so, look, everything being equal, the money being equal, the Patriots, no one was going to choose them. But you don't have to make the money equal. You can throw more money at them like they did with Carlton Davis, and you can land him. Yeah. So after Milton Williams, that was my favorite signing because, again, what that represents. I was looking at ESPN, just kind of handed out grades on all these signings.
A++?
No.
No. What?
Have you seen these or no?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So in all reality, was it B?
The first signing, well, it's individual, individual grades.
Oh, I thought it was like sort of like a group effort.
First signing they made was Harold Landry III. That was a B+.
Agreed. Okay?
Yeah. Good signing.
B+.
Next signing they made, I believe, was Robert Spillane, right?
Yeah.
Also a B+.
Two back-to-back B+s. All right.
Our two favorites, Keith. Carlton Davis III, yeah. C+.
Wait, what?
Defensive tackle Milton Williams, C.
I disagree with these grades. I'd probably go B+ across the board, maybe A-. So B+, the player for Milton Williams, you could grade it higher just because of the message sent by the team and by Robert Kraft to actually spend money. Like, I like that more than even the player. Carlton Davis, you'd have to go maybe A-, just with that. Just the idea of lining up two really good cornerbacks is great. Not a lot of teams around the NFL have one cornerback that they like, let alone two.
I just think we're very excited here because it's been a while since they spent money.
Yeah.
And good for the Crafts for spending money. Good for Vrabel. I was questioning whether or not he had any pull or yank or any say, and it turns out he does. So good for Vrabel. Good for the Crafts for spending money. I would be cautious of overreacting too much to the signings, and those grades would be a reason to say, okay, nice, but not spectacular signings. Maybe some overpays. I'm sure that's the way they're looking at it, too. And you have to overpay. So I'm not criticizing any of those signings. I just think they have a long way to go and more to do. And left tackle and wide receiver are right at the top of that list. Do you have any thoughts on Mac Hollins, by the way?
Yeah, I don't love him.
No?
No. I mean, I think it's great that he wears, like, animal from Electric Mayhem heads and, like, doesn't wear socks.
Goes barefoot everywhere.
Yeah. I don't care about that. Like, I like a character. But the player himself, I feel like it's just another one of kind of what you have.
So,
like, he's like a number three receiver on a good team.
I was going to say, they have to sign another two guys still.
Yeah.
But he's an upgrade. He's a professional receiver, which I know is something we said about KJ Osborne. But he's going to be, if he's your number three, that's an upgrade in your room. If he's playing like one or two, then you're in trouble.
So he's played on a ton of teams.
But if he's your three or four,
yeah.
And I think he was the three with McDaniels in Vegas. Last year, he was probably the three or four in Buffalo. I think if that's where he is,
he made some great plays.
That's a pretty good third or fourth receiver.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I guess you could say he's battle tested and he's played on a couple of playoff teams, right? The Eagles, the year that they beat the Pats, he was on that team, and then he was on obviously the Bills last year. But, like, you know, he had 31 catches in 17 games for 378 yards.
Right.
But compared to what they have on the roster, like, yeah, he's nice, but I don't know. It just sort of means that what they have, you know, maybe they'll cut Baker, or maybe they'll cut Polk, or maybe something along those lines, which is fine.
It's bad news for those guys.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because, like, he's better than them, but he's not a number one. Like, Drake May's like, hell yeah, Mac Hollins. Like, no, I'll take a receiver, but I don't know. You need somebody else.
Yeah. So if he's your three, your four, I think all of a sudden your receiver room's looking pretty good. If he's the guy in your receiver room and you're running it back, that's scary.
But it does say something, like, most of their receivers are like 23 years old. Like, he's a 31-year-old, been around the NFL type of guy. So, like, that aspect of it I'll take.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on day one of legal tampering, what the Patriots did. Did they do enough? Is the jury still out? Can you not really give them any credit until they upgrade the offense? How do they upgrade the offense for Drake May? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll take your phone calls all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It's a Tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off the most important positions and least important positions in the NFL at 11:30. It's a Tommy Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at high noon for all the latest intel on the Patriots in free agency. And, of course, Kiefer Madness at 12:45 as well. Stay tuned for it. Let's get into Mike Vrabel and the culture that he's setting in New England. We'll do that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle-resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle-free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $179 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SM808128. MSRP 27105. Ends 3/31/25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The New England Patriots knew they needed to throw money at a variety of players so they could change the culture and change the perception. First, it's the big defensive tackle, top of the market, Milton Williams from the Philadelphia Eagles coming in, getting $26 million a year. Not only an outstanding player, but an unbelievable character individual. And the list goes on. They end up getting Morgan Moses to come in and be their left tackle, who is a grinder, plays through injury, an outstanding locker room culture individual. They go out and get Carlton Davis, an absolute dog at the cornerback spot, who comes from a great culture and will continue to build that for Mike Vrabel. Then they get a linebacker that goes all over the field and tackles everything in Robert Spillane. Then there's Harold Landry, who Vrabel knows well from their time together in Tennessee and has the ability now to teach the rest of that locker room the Mike Vrabel culture that they want to instill in New England.
Happy 311 Day to all who celebrate out there.
Yeah, is this one of your favorite holidays? It's got to be.
I almost decided I needed some me time today.
Seriously.
I almost
requested time off. If you take 311 off, that would be understandable. Just go home, have a few spins of the old albums.
The holiest of the high holidays.
Is it only 311 rejoin today, Nick?
Yeah,
is that all you have back there?
No, that's the only one.
Oh, okay.
No,
it's down 11 more times.
It's a big week out there for us.
Huge.
We celebrate holidays like this. 311 Day.
That's exciting.
Is it Pie Day on
Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, Pie Day.
Pie Day Friday.
Should we bring in our favorite pies?
Just eat a bunch of pies? You know what? Add it to the doc.
Another event for the combine. The final decision makers.
Yeah,
Pie Day.
Pie eating contest on Friday.
All right. Well, we'll talk about this in the break.
Yep.
But you hear James Palmer there coming back from Underdog. He's breaking down all the various signings that the Patriots made, and it does seem like there's more than just. And maybe Milton Williams is different, but it does seem like most of them. Not only do the Patriots have connections to these guys, which you were pointing out yesterday. Davis played for Terrence Williams in Detroit a year ago. He's won a Super Bowl. You know, you have the couple of players who played for Vrabel in Tennessee, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane. And so not only is there a connection to the coaching staff, but it does seem like, and Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide were all over this in the Herald leading into free agency coming out of the combine, they're going to put an emphasis on football character and leadership because the locker room and the situation got so poor a year ago. And I think the Patriots need that. I think they need football character, and I think they need attitude and leadership. But I wonder if they're sacrificing any talent or leaning into that aspect of it as opposed to just getting the best players or most talented players available. That would be my fear with leaning in so much on football character, attitude, leadership, etc. And again, I think the Patriots need all that. I just wouldn't want the pendulum to swing too far on that.
Well, I think if they didn't sign Milton Williams, there might have been more of a, you're just getting guys that you know. Like, and yes, the locker room, they talked so much last year about the culture needing to change. They almost talked about it too much, and then it probably changed too far the other way, where, like Mike Vrabel needs to kind of snap it back together. And I think that's what a lot of coaches do around the league. Not only do they, you know, grab coaches that they're familiar with, but they grab players that they're familiar with a lot, too. Now, you run the risk of, like, do you just want to build the Titans from a few years ago? Obviously not. And if you did, you might want to start with Derrick Henry because he was the reason why your team was good.
Right, or A.J. Brown.
Or A.J. Brown, which, hey, if that ends up happening, I'd be all in on that.
Did you, not to sidetrack us, what was the impetus for... The Greg Hill Show was talking about that all morning. What was there? Was
AJ Brown?
Yeah, was there something new out there on AJ Brown? Was it just bringing
that
in Tennessee
Matt Barry
players
thing or something?
Okay,
yeah, or just all the connections that he has. I don't think it was anything specific. I didn't see anything new today.
Their question was, would you give up four for AJ Brown? And last I saw or heard, anyway, it was most fans were saying no, which is nonsense.
Well, four straight up seems like, doesn't that seem like an overpay based on like what other guys go for and what draft picks get traded?
Yeah, but as we learned yesterday, they have to overpay.
No, you have to overpay money-wise. I don't think you have to overpay draft pick-wise with other teams. Like, if you did a pick swap, which we talked about last week, I think they pick, their highest pick is, they have 32, right? Because they just won the Super Bowl. So if you went 4 to 32, or do they even have another pick maybe? I would do that. Like, so you're not giving up, you're not losing a pick, you're just moving way down, but then you're getting a guy like A.J. Brown.
You'd have 32 and 38, but you'd have A.J. Brown, something like that.
That I would do.
So anyway, didn't mean to sidetrack us. I heard some of that discussion today. Yeah. But if you're going to bring in Tennessee Titans,
A.J. Brown.
Probably start with those two. Yeah.
I'd take those guys.
Yeah. Not Josh Dobbs. And
Even Mac Hollins has a connection to Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're definitely bringing in guys that they like. I mean, talent is going to sort of win out, but... They have so many needs. They have so many moves that they need to make. So the fact that they were as aggressive, maybe more aggressive than any other team yesterday, is a positive sign.
Yeah.
Regardless of who it is, whether they coach these guys or not.
What about the plan to win on defense? Which at least early seems like that's what they're leaning in on. Most of the capital that they put out yesterday is on the defensive side of the football.
It might be the quickest way to get you out of the basement into like 8 or 9 wins.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
You want to be, obviously you're aiming higher than an 8 or 9 win team. But if you want to be a competitive football team next year and in games, yeah, it stinks you don't have a tackle on the left side, we think, unless Morgan Moses is playing left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have a tackle on the left side for Drake May. Yeah, you don't have receivers yet. A lot can change in free agency in the draft and everything else. But yeah, that might be a quick way to be a respectable 500 competitive football team. I don't disagree with that at all.
And you weren't great on either side of the ball. Last year, they were 30th in offense and 22nd on defense. But you figure, all right, just based off the personnel, you're a little bit, maybe a lot closer to being a good defense. And you say, hey, look at also who's available. Like the offensive line, it was Ronnie Stanley and then a huge drop-off. So once you didn't get him... You know, you look over on defense, and you're like, well, a guy like Milton Williams would be really good. Or there were a few corners out there. And so, like, once they addressed that, linebacker, pass rush, that kind of made a little bit of a sense. You know, just who was available, what they could do. And if you end up having a, I don't know, how crazy you want to get, like a top 10 defense next year, like that does, like, I don't think we have to check the stats. I don't know how you can have a top 10 defense and win 4 games. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Now, you can't have the worst offense in the league. Yeah, you know what? I can pull that up rather than just pulling that out of Rich Keefe stats and info.
But I'm with you on that. Like, who do you think was the worst team points per game last year?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what did they finish with their record?
All right, so the best defensive teams last year in order, ready? Chargers, playoff team. Eagles won the Super Bowl. Broncos, playoff team. Chiefs, playoff team. Vikings,
playoff team.
Playoff team. Packers,
Playoff team.
Lions?
Playoff team.
Steelers?
Playoff team.
Ravens?
Playoff team.
Dolphins?
Not a playoff team.
All right, so the first non-playoff team was the Miami Dolphins, whatever that is, all the way down at like 10.
I was going to say 9 or 10, something like that.
And they had a lot of injuries, and they were 8-9.
That's what I was going to say. What was their record? So there you go, right there. Right there, you're the Dolphins. And the Dolphins have more firepower on offense, you know, Tyreek Hill and Waddle and things like this.
And then the Bills were the next one down.
Okay,
and then Seahawks.
Okay, Seahawks won 10 games, didn't they?
Oh, here we go. Best defense. Yeah, what did the Seahawks win last year?
I think the Seahawks won 10 games.
They won 10 games.
They won 10 games. They blew blew out their best wide receiver and their quarterback.
All right, we found it. And you got to count. You got to go down a little bit a ways. But the Chicago Bears.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to be there.
Nope. So they fired their offensive coordinator. They also had a murderer's row of a schedule. Like, they were in the toughest division. And they remember we looked at it after the Patriots beat them. And we're like, they're not going to win another game.
Right.
And they went 5-12 a year ago. So that, I guess, would be the example.
Right. Even if they're Miami and they're 8-9 and they're competitive and maybe they leave a few games out there, but their defense is top 10, that's probably a good model for
but
them.
But even so, that's 13.
Yeah.
So that's outside the top 10, outside the top 12.
Oh.
So, all right, if you're a top 10 or 12 defense, you're going to be at least 500, it feels like.
Yeah. So that's...
Boom, look, what a stat.
How about that? Rich Keefe stats and info.
On it.
On the spot.
You saw that live in action. Impressive, isn't
you
it?
You also saw me attempt to like look that up real quick, and Keith just smoked me on it. I mean, that's why there's no Jones stats and info.
No.
It's the Rich Keefe stats and info department.
But like, I don't think it's that far afield to think that that's where they would be. You know, you coach them up a little bit better. You have two legit corners. You have a real kind of pass rush and a good front. Like, and hopefully they don't get run on like they did a year ago. Just based on the personnel, they shouldn't get run on like they did a year ago. But you don't want to have the Bears offense. That's how you get to 5-12. You have a decent enough defense, and then you have that kind of offense. So you do need to improve that side, too.
Yeah, it sounds like even just top half of the league, don't be the Bears.
Yeah.
And you're talking about being a 500-ish team. So you can jump in on that. How do you feel about building on defense? How do you feel about emphasizing culture? How much do they need football character and culture upgrade? On top of all their signings on day one of legal tampering yesterday, we'll keep our ear to the ground, eyes peeled. On any more moves here today, 617-779-7937. We got your thoughts all day long here on a Tier Tuesday, a Tommy Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. Let's get to the quarterback signing they made yesterday. We referenced his name in passing a couple of times. Josh Dobbs in.
Dobby from the Harry Potter series.
Dobber.
Yeah.
From
he was
from
OP.
Coach.
Dobby was OP.
He was until, you know.
Yeah.
Dobber from Coach.
Dobber also, was he special teams?
I defer to you on this. I'm
99% sure he coached teams.
Deep, intricate knowledge of Coach, the television program. So Dobbs is in. What does that mean for Joe Milton III? One of two quarterbacks that were on the Patriots roster?
They have three quarterbacks.
Let's get to that next.
Who's the best DB you've played against?
For me, I'll say Carlton Davis. Mm-hmm. Only reason why I say Carlton Davis because he was longer than I expected, you know what I'm saying? Longer arms. And he ain't got no knee bend. He just hunched his back over and just played defense, you know what I'm saying? So I think I played him twice, too. So, you know, he made some good plays on me, so I ain't going to ever forget that one.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Tier Tuesday. Tier off the top positions in the NFL at 11:30. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran at high noon. And Kiefer Madness every Tuesday at 12:45.
Busy day.
Very, very busy day. So far, no signings for the Patriots. You can weigh in with all your thoughts on what they did in day one of legal tampering. 617-779-7937. My favorite signing, Milton Williams. Milt Stilt, Hoss of the Week here on Jones
Congrats.
And Keefe. Keefe went with Carlton Davis. That was Jamar Chase talking about Carlton Davis longer than you'd think.
How about that?
What
I've never
say.
Heard that.
To Jason McCourty. Maybe that's why he's worth $20 million a year longer than you'd think.
Sure.
But Jamar Chase said, was it the toughest cornerback, Nick? What exactly was the question? The toughest cornerback you had to face was Carlton Davis.
Who's the best?
I'm sorry, the best. There
Even
you go.
Even better. So forget that.
The toughest cornerback, best cornerback that Jamar Chase faced was Carlton Davis, now a New England Patriot. So how about that?
I love it. I just like the idea of having two nasty corners and like how tough that's going to be because, you know, one thing teams could do is decide, all right, we'll go away from Gonzalez. And as good as Gonzalez is, that's great. He's taking somebody away, but then they can pick on somebody else. This makes the job so much easier for everybody involved.
So I've been a fan of that. Yeah. Mostly when we were talking about the draft, less so when we were talking about free agency, but I did have DJ Reed on various lists when we were talking free agency as a corner I wanted them to sign. I love the idea of Travis Hunter across from Christian Gonzalez or Will Johnson across from Christian Gonzalez. I love that idea. this gives you some of that. And it also gives you options in the draft. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. Josh Dobbs has been signed to the Patriots' cornerback depth chart.
Right.
And I think a lot of us immediately go, well, first of all, I think he's a legitimate backup in the NFL, and he has ties to Vrabel. But a lot of us go right to Joe Milton III.
He gone!
Jordan Schultz, friend of Ian Rappaport.
Uh-huh.
Son of Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, as we came to find out.
How about that?
Sources. Patriots have had discussions on trading quarterback Joe Milton III and would like to trade him to the right situation to continue his development in the NFL. That's weird. Should a deal get done? New England loves Milton, but Drake May is their franchise QB, and they just signed Josh Dobbs to a two-year, $8 million contract to be the backup. So they want to do right by him and send him to a place where he could develop in the NFL? Okay, like, whatever.
I don't know about that.
I don't give two craps about that. Just get the highest pick you can.
Yeah.
Are you itching to trade Joe Milton, or do you like the room May, Dobbs, Milton?
I'm not itching to trade him. I just wonder how well, like, what's the value now, and what's the value going to be over the next year or two? And if Drake May plays all season next year, hard to really increase the value of Joe Milton. So for some reason, and I was surprised this even became a thing. Like, yeah, he looked pretty good against the backups for the Buffalo Bills. But he was also a late round pick the year before, or that year. So every team in the league had multiple chances to take Joe Milton. We all knew about the arm strength. It's not like he surprised everybody. Oh, wow, he can really chuck it. Like, we knew that. And so if there's teams with interest and they're going to give you something for him, go ahead and do it. I think this is another situation.
What's something,
where,
though? Is something like a fifth round pick? I'm not doing that.
Fourth round pick.
I don't think I'm doing that.
Okay.
I think I'd rather have him on the team, continue to develop him. You know, Josh Dobbs is better to, like, pinch hit for a week or two. But if you really had, you know, heaven forbid, a devastating injury to Drake May, I'd like to have Joe Milton somewhere on the roster as, like, a developmental piece. And if you're telling me I get a day two pick for him, I don't think you're getting a second, but, like, somehow you sneak into the third round for Milton, I'd trade him.
If it's, like, a pick swap even, you see that a lot of times. What if you moved up, like, 30 picks on day two and you just had to give up Joe Milton in a pick? I don't know.
I think I'd rather have Milton.
Do you think bringing in Josh Dobbs, though, sort of suggests that they're open to that, right? Clearly.
I think Dobbs coming in means, I agree with the Jordan Schultz report, it means Milton is gone.
Or do you just want a veteran? Because maybe you don't want those as the only two quarterbacks. Maybe you're not ready for those to be the only two guys.
Look, you need a veteran on the team. And maybe he's a better teammate than Jacoby Brissett was.
Isn't he like an astronaut or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Josh Dobbs?
Is he?
Well, his nickname's the Pastronaut.
So Pastronaut?
Yeah, he's, like, super into, like, astronomy or something. Okay. There's something with him.
Interesting.
I think he wanted to, like, go to NASA and hang out or something like
that.
He, like,
legitimately is, like, got ties to NASA.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, he's probably a better teammate than Brissett, who, as we came to find out, was a trash teammate last year.
Yeah, was not great.
All you heard is that he was the perfect signing and the perfect fit for a young quarterback. He was terrible. A terrible, terrible fit with a young quarterback. Not even terrible on the field. Bad teammate.
Yeah.
So maybe Josh Dobbs is a better teammate. We're going to find out.
Josh Dobbs did two internships at NASA.
How about that?
Wow.
So you're
Move over, Matt Patricia. Yeah, you're a real rocket scientist.
You're bringing in a pretty smart guy.
So I think the writing's on the wall for Joe Milton. I don't agree with it unless you're getting a day two pick. I personally wouldn't do that. But if you ask me what I think they're going to do, new coaching staff, new personnel people, they didn't draft Joe Milton. They're probably looking at it like you are, Keith. Look, we have a guy who we think stinks that we can get a fourth-round pick for or a pick swap for, or we can move up and get somebody who actually helps. That's probably how a new coaching staff, new regime will be looking at it. So he's probably getting traded, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. And I was just taking a quick look. I should have done this before the show, of all the Titans seasons under Vrabel and if they would carry two or three quarterbacks. And it looks like it's a lot of two quarterbacks. So it's like Tannehill, Mariota. They had that guy Logan Woodside in Tannehill. So some teams we know go with two. Like when Bill Belichick felt comfortable with the backup, they would go with two, right? Then there were also times where they would go Brady, Garoppolo, Brissett, and it was sort of because they were trying to push Brady out the door. But then there were also years where it was just Brady and Hoyer. So depending on how you want to construct your roster, do you feel like you need to carry three quarterbacks or not?
Because,
like, Dobbs, like, Milton's not going to make it to the practice squad type of thing.
No, I think Milton's worth carrying is how I would answer it. Like, it depends on who you have, not to, you know, worm my way out of the question, but it depends on who you have. Milton's worth carrying, and it's worth having a veteran backup to Drake May. So with this situation, I'd be fine carrying three. But
that also takes away from, like, do you want, like, that ninth lineman or whatever it is, you know, and if you're depending on the depth everywhere else.
I'd rather have Milton than a ninth lineman.
Yeah, okay.
Personally. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. What does that signing mean? What do you think of day one of legal tampering for the New England Patriots? We'll get further into it. And what else do they still have to do? We know they need a tackle. We know they need a wide receiver. Cooper Kupp could shake free. So how do the Patriots get him? What are their other options at wide receiver? We can get into that. And Kraft and his spending. Where has this been the last few years? And is this the new reality? Or is this just another shot in the arm like it was in 2021? We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.